Hello, a heart refined friend. So here we are on a jog time, drive time, laundry time, whatever time. I'm super grateful that we're here together. This week, I really kind of procrastinated and I've drawn out, and based on how I've drawn out my time and when I'm doing these based on how I feel or whatever's going on. But this particular one could not land on a better week because we're going to be talking about Mary. And this actually is based on the very last devotional in my book, Simple Surrender. And you can find that on Amazon. There's a little shameless plug there. Find it on Amazon along with the journal. But day 40 is called Blessed is She Who Believes. And this is really important for us as women to think about, to listen to. I've actually done also a devotional night where we spoke on this, we discussed this topic. And so I think for those of you who are there and you want to share it with a friend, this is the perfect way to do it. But there's some of you who have not heard this yet and you need this reminder. So join in with me. I'm going to try to keep this all in one podcast this week since there's so much going on. You may maybe have that drive time that you can listen to this. Or maybe you just need to pause it and break it up. But however it goes, I hope you can finish this, and I hope you're blessed. So as we've gone through the course of this, and this, of course, is the very last podcast on this finding the goodness of God, and we've been focused in Romans 8. And, of course, Romans 8 has been our plumb line, really, for this whole thing. But we've sort of gone in and out of other scriptures. We were in Job last week. This week, we're going to be in Luke 1, but I'll get to that here in a second. But we've also been speaking a lot about things that have to do with our theology. And we started out calling it as it is, and its formal name, theology proper, or our vocabulary words like hermeneutics. We've determined that this conversation is imperative for us as Christian women, for us to speak clearly and effectively, to be able to defend the faith with gentleness and respect. And the fact is, we cannot defend or disciple others or even navigate through our own defeat without a proper understanding of these things. But how does this apply to you or me, us broken, wounded, weary, precious daughters? So us sweet girls, the ones who knows that God is good and who is hungry for something more, but doesn't feel good enough to be used. And like, even if you did, you have no clue on where to begin. And that's a real common thing, even to this day, as I've moved forward in ministry piece for piece, and I'm still such a small fry, and that's absolutely fine because it doesn't need to be anything more than what God has chosen it to be. But even for me to this day, I question, am I good enough and all those. But the more that I embrace the sovereignty of God and the perfection of God and His love for me in light of His largeness, even in His in that majestic, magnificent way, He is tender and He is present. So I'm going to start out by reading a portion of a prayer to you that comes off this day 40 devotional. And then you're going to be able to tell me or you're going to be able to know if you can identify with it. So here we go. Dear faithful God, this fear lingers in my flesh, telling me I will never be good enough to serve you. I have to confess, I believe my fears and failures have set me outside of your purpose. If you have ever felt that way, that you're not good enough, if you've never felt that way, that you're not good enough, then you're going to have to teach me. Like I said, I struggle with that quite often. So let's talk about a couple of girls who were asked to do very big things. And just like the story of Job, God uses them to give us an example of His goodness in the impossibly hard. And there's several of you. Oh my goodness, your names and faces are popping in my head as I say this. You are in a season of impossible, but you also know Jesus. And so we can rejoice together that He is going to do all things through you that He's chosen to do. He's going to equip you and sustain you. So in Luke 1, we have a story that is both tender and terrifying, and it is all based on what God did with the life of two simple girls. And we know them to be Elizabeth and Mary. The tenderness can be found when we see where God had put the salvation of, put the story of salvation into motion with the pregnancy of Mary's barren cousin Elizabeth. It's also there where Gabriel told Mary not to be afraid, but that God had chosen her to bear his son and that anything is possible with him. Could y'all imagine this scenario of an angel coming? And that is frightening just because this is a heavenly creature. And then he's telling her, hey, sweet virgin girl, you're going to have a baby. And this is God's baby. Really, I can't even imagine. So we see God's tenderness in the sweet detail also of John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb when Mary came near with Jesus in her belly. And we see the tender hand of God that can be traced throughout the chapter. And that's because it would take the power of his loving kindness, his goodness, as we keep finding all throughout, to calm the fear that they had to be overwhelmed by. So imagine how wonderfully joyous and yet altogether frightening it had to have been for Elizabeth to know she was finally going to have a baby as an older woman. Think about it. This baby, this older woman, these things that didn't seem possible, and yet the Lord had delivered and he was going to sustain her, and for a very special purpose. We cannot even fathom, though, how completely afraid Mary must have been throughout her pregnancy, knowing God had given her this child for a purpose greater than herself, and at the same time having no clue what that would require of her. So, however, though, later in chapter 1, after Elizabeth felt her baby boy proclaim the presence of the Lord, she makes a declarative statement over Mary that sets a tone of confident praise. Side note here, for you girls, we have got to recognize our responsibility in relationship with our sisters. Yes, are we going to have to vent sometimes? Are we going to have to go and get godly advice and ask for prayer? Absolutely. But it is our responsibility to share joy and our delight in Christ as we encourage one another. It is I believe personally, that it is a female failure, a major malfunction in the female gender, that we use each other to complain, to dump on, and we don't take captive our thoughts and feelings with our sisters in mind, with their thoughts and their homes in mind. And I'm going to talk about this next week, about what the vision that the Lord has put on my heart for 2022 and my responsibility with women in the year to come. And this has a lot to do with it. So Elizabeth here makes a declarative statement over Mary that sets the tone for confident praise. And this is verse 45 of chapter 1 of Luke. And she says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. This phrase gives way to one of the most beautiful, worshipful prayers in the Bible. I quote this constantly, and if you follow me at all, you've heard me talk about it all the time. So in your own time, I would encourage you to go back and read Luke 1 and really study what Mary is saying in this prayer. It's easy to see how people might choose to worship her, as we see in the Catholic faith. She was a noble woman and one whom we should model our lives after, but we should pay most attention to how she did receive that blessing from Elizabeth, that confident praise, but then she gave it right back to God. She knew herself to be flawed and sinful, and she knew that he would have to breathe perseverance into her bones. She also knew, based on God's pattern, that he would be victorious, him alone, regardless of her fears and her subsequent failures. This is the thing, that Mary knew herself to be a human being. She knew that she was going to have some parental failures. Think about it. She left Jesus. Her and Joseph left Jesus in the temple. They forgot about the kid, Jesus of all people. So she had some failures. But she knew that he was the one that would have victory. And this is the way we are able to delight in him and then encourage one another, because that the scripture out of Psalm 31 that says she, is robed in strength and dignity. That means her faith is in God. And then she laughs without fear at the future. That means that she trusts him with everything she's got. So now let's read Matthew 11:28-30. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn more from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, these are the words that came directly from Jesus's mouth, and they bring such peace to my soul. It took me, 2021 was the year of studying this verse, and it changed me forever. And literally, from the book Gentle and Lowly, his last name is Ortland. My brain just went dead. Dane Ortland. That verse changed my world, because we know that these are the words that come directly from Jesus's mouth, and they encourage the people to know that he is the only source of true rest in their souls. Now let's consider that even though Mary had not audibly heard these words, but because of the faith that God had poured out on her heart for her to be able to do this thing that was so big, she knew them from deep within her belly. This belly where Jesus was living and growing. She knew that God was completely trustworthy, and everything he would do in her and through her would be altogether lovely. These words, I cannot stop saying them. Jesus, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are completely trustworthy and they are altogether lovely. And Mary knew that deep within her belly. Now that's the question we have to ask. What's in our belly? Now, here we go. We're going to go back now to Romans 8:28 and Luke 1:45. We're going to put these together. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Okay. Now let's look at Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. Now, we have to make sure our bellies are full of the right interpretation, or remember the word, the hermeneutic, on these verses, or we're not ready or even really usable for that thing that God is asking us to do. When it says that all things work together for good, that means that all things work according to God's plan and perfect calling on your life, on my life, on our lives. That does not mean the bills will always get paid and the diseases will always go away. That's really important to recognize. We can't focus, or we can't measure God's movement by material things. It just doesn't work that way. That does not mean that somehow you live in this euphoria all the time and that there are unicorns and rainbows everywhere you go. That means that God will sustain you according to his riches and glory. In other words, he will equip you. The Spirit of Jesus will constantly be available to you in prayer and counsel, and everything that comes from you will bring glory to God. And that's a period there. Just period. That's just how that's going to work. And when it says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her, it does not mean that God has spoken the American dream into your heart and he's going to deliver it to you on a silver platter. Just like Elizabeth was saying to Mary, that verse is saying to you what I said. That means God will sustain you according to his riches and glory. He will equip you. I'm just repeating myself. The Spirit of Jesus will constantly be available to you in prayer and counsel, and everything that comes from you will bring God glory, period. That's what these verses mean. Sometimes I think we're working for the wrong thing as Christian women. We're trying really hard to present this put together package with no faults and flaws. And there's nothing wrong with keeping your affairs in order. Obviously, as a woman myself who prizes herself on discipline, I genuinely do believe that the Lord asks us to take care of the people and obligations entrusted to us. I also believe, though, that through this process, it gets in the way of us moving forward in our walk with the Lord and service to him and others. We wait till we can, quote, get it all together until we just go and get started. So this is one of those things where we have got to, we've got to come to the table as women and have this conversation about the insecurities and how to overcome, how to rest in the goodness of God while we run in this crazy world. And there, that's right there. I don't know if anybody catches on to that, but the name of my retreats are Rest While You Run. And it's the whole time, it's learning Him. It's finding your joy and delight in Him. And that way you're able to move forward. But it does take some confession. Y'all, we're addicted to ourselves. And every addict needs a moment of transparency. So that rock bottom place where you say, yeah, this is what I'm addicted to. I'm addicted to my busyness. I'm addicted to my insecurities. I'm addicted to my affliction. And y'all, in this season of healing after the surgery, I can find myself battling. It is so easy to fall in love with attention, getting things and laziness. And I mean, it's easy to sit around and watch TV all the time. So anyways, you get what I'm saying. We can become addicted to ourselves, but this time of confession is important. And so we want to say, or we want to ask ourselves, if we have any insecurities that make us believe that God doesn't want to use us. These things that get in the way, what are they? Spill them out. Share them with a godly friend, godly counsel. Don't just say them anywhere. Share them with godly counsel and talk through it with your friends. You don't have to pay somebody to do that. You got godly friends around you who are running the same race. Talk to them. And let the two of you work through it. But before you do that, get your journal out, get alone with the Lord, and tell Him about the things that you're battling with in your heart. Now, so when I started, I prayed the first part of a prayer that's again on that page, or day 40, it's actually page 95 of Simple Surrender. I'm going to read the whole thing right now. I want you to listen carefully. And I believe this is the prayer that we put in that journal that we go to the Lord with. And this is how we move forward. Dear faithful God, this fear lingers in my flesh, telling me I will never be good enough to serve you. I have to confess, I believe my fears and failures have set me outside of your purpose. But the moment I take a long look at you, you comfort my wayward heart. That view of you helps me recognize my fear and shame as a form of self-worship. Your radiant perfection satisfies and settles my selfish, rattled nervous system. You don't shame me, but instead, my precious Father, Savior, friend, instead, you pull me close, reminding me that your plan has never been based on my goodness, but on yours alone. Hallelujah. That is just the truth. And with that prayer, it is important that you move into worship, that you open your heart, your surrendered heart. And this is just this simple place. This is thus the name of my book, Simple Surrender. It's not simple in application, but it is so simple in context, because once you decide that you're going to surrender to His loving kindness, to His completely trustworthy, altogether lovely self, then you're going to be able to move forward from places that you felt stuck for a long time. And this is not some glorious, again, rainbows and butterflies promise. There's a lot of grit, there's a lot of hard, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of sacrifice, but there's no greater joy than in He who has come to save us, the light of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. All right, God bless you, my sweet friends. That's the end of finding the goodness of God. And we have gone throughout all kind of scripture, but I pray that your heart has been tuned into Him, and that you have heard something that has helped change your heart to know Him more. Again, I'm going to be coming in next week as we get ready for this new year and talking about the vision that God has given me. And I pray that we join together, because y'all, He's got a good thing. We know this because He's planned good things according to His riches and glory. All right. God bless you, and Merry Christmas. Bye.